Good day and welcome to the second part of the monitoring series sponsored by Sun47. Today we're going to talk a little bit about observability and what to do when that alert comes in the middle of the night. First, let's explain what observability is and what the observability triad is, the three pillars of observability that will help us have better alerts and better monitoring. The first is metrics. Obviously, this is the most common and what we see all the time. They will help us identify trends and, of course, the alerts that we will have about our infrastructure. But we also have to use traces. Traces are obviously the logs of our application that can help us provide a little more context when trying to decipher a problem, to be able to understand why a problem is happening and not just know that the problem is happening. And finally, we have the part that will help us the most with the investigation, which is traces. Traces will help us track requests. We will be able to see how a request goes through different services, and I fully understand that not all infrastructures will have this yet. This may be a bit more complex to implement for some people, but if you think about it, it's not that hard. How do traces work? Tracers work in many ways, but the most common is by adding a header or identifier to each request. In other words, when a request arrives from the client to our edge service, that edge service will add a unique identifier to each of those requests and inject it into a header. That request will continue to the first service, and that first service will use that identifier in the request, in the header, to inject it into any request dependent on that same request. In other words, let's suppose that we receive a request that requires us to contact another service to do something else. That request will also be injected with the header of the original request. Our service has to do this. Our service is going to load a library that will be able to automatically read that request header at the beginning and inject it into any request that comes out. That will help us later to search by the request ID, let's say, that identifier that is injected into each of these requests to know where that request went. Now we are going to see a little bit of all that, but the idea is that these three pillars, metrics, logs, and traces, will help us tell the complete story of our infrastructure and how our application is working. Well, the first thing we are going to keep in mind when we create our dashboards is to make sure that they are effective dashboards and do not show more information than we really need. There is a dog barking, it totally agrees with what I am saying. The dashboard always has to answer specific questions, that is, we really need in all our application dashboards to have, for example, I don't know, the disk usage of the entire server or the weight that each server has or the number of open null pointers or the number of nodes. There are many things that can come up to us to debug a problem if it is a bit more complicated, but at first we do not need all that information. Here I will show you an example dashboard that I created for my server, which is a bad example. It is a dashboard that is really not good. First of all, notice that I see practically no correlation between the different graphs that I have on our dashboard. Obviously, they are all the same color. I do not see what happens when one goes up and the other goes down. I see these things that I do not know: load average observer, all memory utilization observer 50%. This is information that does not really help us debug any problem. It is boring to see, difficult to understand, and there is too much information that is not well labeled. This dashboard is useless, and these are the dashboards that almost all monitoring services bring us by default, or it is what sometimes we feel like doing it first, right? Let's put the CPU, let's put the memory, let's put the disk, let's put everything. Processor queue length server. Do you know what that is? Because I honestly don't know. Or I imagine it could be the number of processes that are queued, but we really need this. What does that tell me is good or bad? Is that low or high? I don't know. Because there are no colors here, there's nothing here that tells me what's happening, if this is good or bad. So, this is an example of a dashboard that isn't very useful. Here I'm going to show you another dashboard that's a little better because it takes several things into account. First of all, colors. Obviously green, good, yellow, more or less, red, bad. And I already see this and I already know that we have few or relatively few requests that are good, most are more or less and there are many bad ones. So, I already see that there's something wrong here. Something that's happening. Yes, I also see, for example, the response time here, right? Per transaction, and I can see, for example, what type of request is taking the longest. And this is easy to see. I mean, I see that, look, here at the same time, I do see that all my requests are taking longer. I mean, it's not like there's just one that stands out from the others. By having different colors, different tags, I can understand that something is happening at that moment and it's affecting all types of requests. It's also easily identifiable. Yes, we also have tables here. Don't be afraid to put tables on your dashboards. Many times people say, oh, well, but my dashboard really has to be all bar graphs, curve graphs, pie charts, nice. No, no, don't be afraid to put tables that indicate, for example, which requests are taking the longest or which are the most common requests, because sometimes it's quite easy to visualize that way. So, for example, here I have the 5 slowest requests. Yes, the 5 slowest types of requests. Let's suppose that now I want to see what's happening in these card requests that are taking 928 milliseconds. And this is where what I was just telling you about observability and traces comes in. Thanks to the fact that we are using a tool like C247 that allows us to trace each of the requests, we can see this, and this is super interesting, and this is something that blows my mind that there are many people who do not use it because they think it is difficult to mention, but it is not difficult, it is quite easy. Simply load a library, put it in your service and you can see these things. Look how interesting. Here we can see, for example, that this request, a single request, notice that the trace ID is this. It took 928 milliseconds, well, it was 5 hours ago and we see that the document fetch part, that is, a function within this request, took 470 milliseconds and that slowed down or made all the subsequent consequences wait. That word does not exist in Spanish, I think. You should use something like LIP, which is an application that allows us to learn English for developers, which is designed for developers. You can have one-on-one meetings and learn all these words with consequential consequences. We'll find out there that I have to go into the IP and learn. But well, we can see here that document fetch is slowing down, right? The requests that come later, that is, not the requests, but the functions of this request that come later. So, we already know that half of the time is spent on this part, the document fetch, and then there are other parts that are done in parallel. So, this is not really a problem because they take 26 milliseconds, 69, but all of these also slow down the next one. So, in this way we can understand what is happening with our requests and why they are taking so long. We can have, for example, this is a call to a database. Yes, well, here we can see many things. We can see the duration, the time it started, right? We can see, for example, the service that is involved. In the event that there is a service that we are attaching, we can also see that service. So, we can say, oh, look, the calls to this service are actually taking a long time to resolve, and so maybe the problem isn't my service that's taking a long time, but rather a dependent service that's taking a long time to respond to me, and that's causing my service to take a long time to respond to the client. And this helps us a lot to correlate our events and know what's happening inside our application. Here on the left, we can see many examples of other transactions, right? That take different amounts of time. And look at this one, look how interesting that we have a complete transaction that goes through different places. First it went through Angra, right? Which is the service that receives the original request. That one took 32 milliseconds. From there it was routed to the ingress frontend, which took 30,000 milliseconds. Then it did a get that went to another service that took 27 milliseconds. That service made these different calls with GPRC, it did a get product, right? All these things are correlated with the log. Here I can now see a log that is included in this same request and we can read it to see what happened. For example, here we see that it is a get, pure recommendation blah 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 product with the IP and everything. And notice that the third ID matches the one I am seeing. So on the same screen I can see not only this time cascade, but I can also see the logs. And this is excellent for understanding the context of our problem. And again, this is not because I can only do it with S24, this is something that is an open protocol that anyone can do with any tool, it is called OpenTelemetry. I can enter all these things, right? Within our application library to be able to trace not only the traces, that is, the requests, but also correlate them with the logs and with the metrics. Another very important thing regarding our monitoring triad, the logs, metrics and traces, is to correctly tag each one of them. And this is actually quite easy in the world of Chordates because everything is inherited through the proxy, but it is very important that each part of the application is well differentiated with different tags. Generally, the tag app or application is used with the correct name. Do not put test or my app or the name of your company. Always try to tag, for example, front-end, back-end, database, all those things, so that each of those metrics has those labels and it is much easier, again, to correlate to see what is happening. Well, and finally, what to do when you get an alert? Because we are probably sleeping, we get an alert and everything explodes, we do not know what to do. And this is where you put into play all the things I just told you, that is, putting together this good dashboard, this good monitoring triad so that the moment of wondering about a problem is much easier, because remember that you are going to be tired, it is going to be the middle of the night, you are going to have slept very few hours, you are going to be stressed, you are going to be scared. Yes. And it is normal for you to feel a lot of stress, it is normal for you to be scared of trying to solve this problem. So, it is very important to follow all these good practices that I just mentioned so that the moment of truth is not so difficult. So, the first thing we are going to do when we receive an alert is to accept the alert, to make the acknowledgement. I had already told you in the first video that we are always going to have escalation levels that will allow us to escalate to a level 2 in the event that, for example, level 1 cannot respond. Why could level 1 not respond? The easiest thing would be that he fell asleep and did not hear the phone. Maybe you have no signal, maybe your phone runs out of battery, or maybe you're in an emergency and can't answer the phone. And this can happen. Your kids are throwing up, they're sick, and you get an alert at work, and no, obviously your child is more important, take care of your child, make sure they're okay, and the alert will escalate to the next person. That's what escalation levels are for. Don't leave your family out of the picture because of work. Unless you're working at a company where, I don't know, it detects meteorite falls that can affect people's lives. An alert is not that someone is bleeding to death. Yes, you have to keep that in mind. Money is completely irrelevant to a person's life or well-being. So always take care of your emergencies first before taking care of an alert. That's what escalations are for. The first thing we're going to do is accept this alert to make sure it doesn't escalate to the next person. If someone is waiting for your response, let them know you're watching. Why? Because this could be an alert created by a system, right? For example, it warns you that a disk is running low on space. Or it could be an alert created by a person asking for your help to solve a problem. In the first case, obviously, you're not going to tell the server, hey, I'm looking at it, no need. But in the second case, it's because a person is waiting for you, yes, tell them, I received the alert, I'll review it now. It doesn't matter if you haven't even started reviewing it yet, but it's very important that you notify them quickly because you want to prevent that person from calling your manager or calling level 2. You accept the alert and tell them, I'm looking at it, give me a few minutes. The third thing we're going to do after we've sat down at the desk is analyze the impact. And this is sometimes quite easy to differentiate. What you have to ask yourself is if there's an impact on your customers. What does impact on your customers mean? That your client can't do anything because of this incident that's happening. Let's say you have a web page where you have a shopping cart and, I don't know, the shopping cart service crashed. That's making it impossible for the client to add products to their cart. This is an incident. Why? Because it's causing an impact to the clients. An example of an alert that is important and urgent, but not an incident, could be, for example, disk space usage that's getting full. We talked in the first video about creating alerts that indicate behavior and not so much metrics or hard numbers. Because we want to be alerted when disk space is going to be a problem, not when it reaches an arbitrary number. But, if we get an alert that says that disk space is about to be full because it's only a few hours away from the disk space filling up, this is not an incident, there's no impact to the client, nobody is crying, nobody is bleeding to death. You have to fix it quickly, but you don't have to create an incident, I mean. You don't have to involve other people to let them know that something is wrong and that you have to fix it. You can easily fix it without telling anyone or, well, you can send a message in SL to let them know. But there's no need to wake anyone up to let them know the customers. So we know that there's no immediate impact, but there could be an imminent impact, meaning that if you don't do anything about it, it's going to be a problem. In those cases, you have to fix it and you have to fix it now, get to work and fix it in the simplest way you can think of, but at the same time make sure that it doesn't break again in the short term. The typical example again is disk space. Let's suppose that our server is running out of disk space because the logs weren't rotated completely. What can we do there? We can do two things. We can clear locks, right? To free up disk space and that's it. Or we can fix the log rotate configuration so that it rotates the logs correctly, and from now on we never have that problem. Again, what are we going to do at that moment at 3 in the morning? On a Tuesday, we are going to delete the logs manually. Why? Because obviously you are not at 100% of your capacity to correctly configure log rotate and make sure that no configuration is missed. So, in the middle of the night, go delete the logs and that's it. Obviously, leave a note so that the next day after you have had your coffee, you can correctly configure log rotate so that it doesn't happen again. Second case, maybe it is an alert, but an alert that is not imminent. Let's suppose that we have an alert that warns us that the disk space is at 50%. And you look at the graphs and you realize that it is slowly increasing and it takes you, it is 3 days before it reaches 80% or for it to be a problem. That should not be an alert. It should not have woken you up at 3 in the morning on a Tuesday to fix that at that moment. So, what you need to do is mute the alert. You can put a mute on it, right? So that it doesn't bother you for several hours, and then again the next day after you've had your coffee and you're at 100% capacity, configure the alert correctly so that from now on it only warns if it's close to the imminent danger of full disk space. So, your responsibility as an alcoholic person is not just to solve the problem at the moment. You have several responsibilities. As I said, it's to communicate if there's an impact, solve the problem if you can, and fix the alerts so that they don't send false alarms in case they're misconfigured. One more thing, it can happen that you get complicated and can't solve the problem. It can happen that your disk space is full and you don't know how to access it, or you've never seen that server, you can't find it. What do you do at that moment? Pray that nothing happens and wait for your manager to wake up. No, that's when you escalate. You're alert, and this happens to all of us. Yes, there are times when a problem is too much for us, right? And we need help from someone with more seniority. Don't be afraid to escalate to level 2 because that's what it's there for. When should we escalate an alert? In other words, after 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, after 30 minutes, after 3 hours. I would say that it's good practice to try to deflect a problem and try to solve it for at least half an hour. If you see that after half an hour you haven't really made any progress, it's getting complicated and you're mainly afraid that something serious is going to happen, that's the time to escalate. If after half an hour you probably can't solve the problem, but you're confident that nothing will happen or that you can hold out for several hours before needing immediate help, you can mute the alert, right? Send a message and be on the lookout in case something else comes up. So, it's really important to accept sometimes when we can't fix the issue, because your responsibility as the person on call is always to make sure that the customer doesn't see any impact, that there's no impact. If that requires you to call someone else to fix the issue, you have to do that. In the next video, we're going to look at what to do when one of those alerts is catastrophic. And when it's impacting the customer, how do we create an incident, what do we have to do, what are the roles of each incident and the people involved, and what can we do to automate some of these tasks? We'll look at that in the next video. Thanks to S247 for sponsoring this series. Check out the tool, you can try it for free, you can try it on premise, you can install it on a machine at home, you can install it on your laptop, you can install it on any server in any cloud. Give it a try because it's super easy to install. I installed it with a single line. It works on Linux, it works on Docker, it works on Windows, it works on everything you can think of. Super easy to install, easy to use, and free. Check out the link in the description. And that's it for today. I hope you learned something. Subscribe for more videos. Like if you enjoyed it. Dislike if you're not watching this video about the monitoring triad. I was researching this video, and I like the word triad because it reminds me of the Justice League, Batman, Superman, and the woman Maria and Flash. Well, the triad is those three, man. Put Flash in the triad. Who do we take out? We take out Superman. If Flash runs faster, I mean, look at all the medals I have there. That's because I'm like Flash. They're all first place medals. All the races I've run. All of them. None of them are for participation. They're all for participation. No, I don't throw them away. No, I don't use them. Check it out. Nerdize it. I'll be there on September 26th, I think, next week, September 27th, 26th. I don't remember. Check it out. Free. I'll be in Buenos Aires. There I checked on Sony for check on lip.